Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamaskamavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 10 Okay. Even if one is wealthy, one should enjoy only what is given by the Lord, just as workers are given pay by their master. Enjoy what is given, and do not desire what is not given. Spending profusely on the Lord and his devotees, one should take the remainder and use that for feeding oneself and one's family, friends, and other worthy people. Okay, so then the, how do you say, the... Yes, the opponent, the Purva Paksha here. But wife and children will not accept such conduct. Scolding, Manu says, whose wealth is this? Svit indicates a question. Though the wealth is in your house, whose is it except the Lord's? Narada says. One may claim proprietorship over as much wealth as required to maintain his body. He who desires proprietorship over more than that is considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.14.8 Footnote 3. It should be understood that alert wakefulness...
That's number two.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does this got to do with this? You know, as it goes, we'll try to figure it out. some new angle or something. And the fun part is, if you hadn't said that, I probably would have tried to make it.
Yeah. I love it. You would have found the connection.
Yeah.
Well, carry on.
One should not claim proprietorship even over his rightfully acquired quota, as it is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.54. Deeply considering the actual situation, a liberated soul should live at home just like a guest, without any sense of proprietorship or false ego. In this way, he will not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. Right? So, in other words, there's a certain amount that's there that's required for the maintenance. Right? Whatever the standard has been set that is sustainable, then that is being done. But sustainable means, in comparison to also the other aspects, the context, that taking care of others, charity, taking care of Vaishnavas, worshipping the deity, all these different things. That's the whole point, is that the principle is, as Krishna accepts a leaf, a flower, fruits, and water, because it's the devotion that matters. But if that's all you're going to give him and everything else is yours, then you're a thief. That's the interpretation given here by Narad Muni, and that's what Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar Devotion. So that is to inspire us that it's not about the quality of the offering, it's about our devotion. But that doesn't mean that we don't try to give the best quality that we can. If we don't, then we're a thief, especially if we're getting good quality for ourselves. We have to be very, very careful about that. So, yes.
How do we get good quality for ourselves? Because everything that we get for ourselves, we offer first to Krishna. So how does that, what's the meaning of that, we get for ourselves?
It's about your own consideration. So you're let's say, wearing very nice clothes, but your deities are very shabby.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it means. The point is, yes, it's offered to the Lord, but since it's all offered to the Lord, why is it you always end up with the good stuff and he always ends up with the shabby stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I could understand you get shabby and good, he gets shabby, you know, it kind of works out,
yeah.
You know, but yeah. So that's the consideration. So we have to be able to know what that means. Otherwise, then those who are unscrupulous then will try to take it and take it into a different context. Right? The context is that whatever you get belongs to the Lord. Therefore, your own facilities of your own house like that, you're actually, it belongs to the Lord, so technically you're just a guest there.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Because if you think like that, then let's say, well, you know, can't always say, but let's say you're a good guest. If you're staying in someone else's house, how do you treat it?
Very nicely.
Very nicely. So one would say, oh, because you're a guest and all that, so then, you know, and it's not yours, so that you won't take care of it. But that's for a bad guest. Mm-hmm. A good guest, because it's not his, he takes care of it more nicely than what his own. Mm-hmm. So because it belongs to the Lord, you're a guest in the Lord's house, therefore you take care of it nicer than you would if it was yours. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. This is where the mode of ignorance always switches. When it always looks like the Vedic culture is something less and bad and the modern is good, that's you can understand that's a symptom of the mode of ignorance. No question about anything else. It's just, it's been switched. Not that people don't misuse. You can say, yes, people misuse the Vedic culture, but they misuse, guaranteed they misuse the modern. Right? The Vedic, it does happen because people are materialistic. That's why it's being mentioned here. Right? He's making this point for those who are pious. It's understood impious are making a problem anyway. So that's the whole thing, is that it, being the Lord, if you live there like a guest, then you won't get attached. Because guest is never yours anyway. So whatever comes along, that's at work. So then when things change, you're not upset. Because as a guest, if things change, you don't get upset. Right? But if it's yours and it changes, then you get upset. That's the whole point. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to avoid. So here he's showing how to live in there, take care of it nicely, the facilities will be good, but at the same time not get attached. These are the because we ask, well, how is it, you know, we're here, we get attached. This is the methods. This is the technique. And it's something that everybody can apply. So that's understood. That's why in the house you have deities, right? Because it's his house. And then you're there, you know, to take care of everything. You know, just like, let's say, the rich person has a house manager that they take care of, the butler. He takes care of everything else. Right? He's in charge of all of the servants, right? So the man in the house is the butler, and he takes care of everybody else in the house. Right? Does that make sense? So that means he runs the house how the master would want it, so how Krishna wants. So those are given in Manu. So that's the whole point. Because we're discussing Manu, so therefore that's why the laws of Manu. So, yeah. Or another meaning is, do not hanker for anyone else's wealth. Right? So, in other words, what is the Lord's don't hanker for, or just do not hanker for others outside of, because otherwise we go to someone else's house, they have better stuff, we want that, but the point is no, you have what you have. You know, if the others come along like this, then that's there, but if you have to spend out of your quota to get it, then that's thievery. So you spend within. That's the whole point.
Alright.
Yes.
The whole modern system of marketing is based on that principle alone that you should have it, it's yours, and everybody's.
Yeah, it's yours, having it, that independence, but also it's greed. I noticed that over the last couple of years, something like, let's say you have an Indian family, right? Father gets something, mother gets something, then what do they do? And the other family members are there, what do they do?
Share.
It's just standard. That's just the way it works. But I've noticed that it's a advertising technique that they're showing that this particular item's so good you don't want to share it. Mm. So they have the father, he's got his bag of chips, and the kids are attacking him trying to get the chips, and it's a whole riot going on. You know, just this. So, but they don't understand that they're just breaking down the fabric of culture. Mm. So that's exactly why Kshatriyas are above Vaishyas. Because they have to control the Vaishyas so they don't do that. Because the point is you can make money off of anything. Because the point is why does somebody buy something? Because it'll be for themselves or for others like that. So then the point is if you break down that is, and is, you know, should be based on good qualities. So if it's required, or it's this or that, or it's proper and all this, but they break all that down so that things that may not be proper you'll want. So they have to increase greed and lust and anger and envy and all these different things. So that's why they're controlled. Because you can make, you know, it's just like sense gratification. That's why then the shudras are controlled, because anything could be sense gratification. So it's controlled. No, what is allowed? You know, like that. But to go outside of that, then no. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that everything is controlled so it doesn't disturb the pursuance of self-realization. So not understanding this, so technically what it means is that when we oppose the Vedic version, means we oppose control that can be useful in self-realization. We don't see it, and it gets in the way of our sense gratification, or, you know, our sense of control and enjoyment. Because that aspect is there. That aspect of Aniruddha, where we want to control the energy for sense gratification. Right? So that's the thing. Tejas, we have that potency. And we want to use that potency to control the energy for our enjoyment. So we think I'm the supreme enjoyer. That's the whole point. But when we use our that potency, means that's coming from austerity, that tejas, to see everything and offer everything to the Lord, then that aspect of Adiruddha becomes proper. You understand? So Shankarshan, we have knowledge, but is it knowledge connecting us with the Lord, or it's knowledge that we're separate from the Lord, right? The modern academics is how they're separate from the Lord. The more they become knowledgeable, the more they want to say there's no God, right? So what does that mean? That's that aspect. So on the material platform, means all the things that are on the spiritual platform are helpful. On the material platform, they're the reverse. They take you deeper into material nature. Right? Becoming attached to Krishna takes you out. Becoming attached to the material, it takes you in. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. So that's the whole point, is these different qualities of the Lord. If they're used in connection with the Lord, they will uplift us. Right? You know, just like someone is very, how do you say, what would be the term? That means enthusiastic, but it's like they're enthusiastic whatever the situation.
Positive?
The positive, they want to go, yes, it means that there's something there, and there they come for, yes, we can do that, we can, you know, they have that kind of attitude, they can get in there and that, but it's not just youthful, or it's not just, you know, whimsical.
Optimistic,
but it has more of the aspect of that. They has a potency there in which they can do it.
A yes man.
Huh?
A yes man.
Yeah, but it's that's the whole point. That's virya. You understand? You have opulence, and then you can positively take that and use it for something. Otherwise, then you get the mundane, where the person has that confidence, has everything, and he's just a real enjoyer, so he always goes on and...
And this aspect of Sankarshan,
really? No, that's Prajumna. Sankarshan is Bala and Jnana. You know, where, you know, you have that strength and knowledge. So you think because of the knowledge, now I'm so powerful, I'm the one that's doing everything. No, but, or it can be that you have that knowledge, and so therefore you have the strength to establish yourself as servant of the Lord. So do you identify, does that knowledge and strength make you identify with the Lord, or does that knowledge and strength make you not identify with the Lord? So that's the thing. Same with the jnana and aishvaryas. I mean, virya and aishvarya. So that means is you have that attitude that can-do attitude. You can go out there and do, but it's about using things in the Lord's service. You know, like someone says, oh, you know, we can do this at Ratha Yatra, but then that would be great, but it'd be so difficult. And so it says, no, we can do that. We can get in there. It'll be, you know, and they're willing to do it. It's not just, you know, oh, that would be so nice, and not that. No, they'll put in the effort.
Vigor?
Huh?
Proactive?
Vigor, yeah, like that. It's just, yes, like that. So this is how we, this is what it means. It's used for Krishna. Or it's just like you see every situation, you're enthusiastic to use it for sense gratification. When there's opulence, you know how to use it. Does that make sense? So like that. And then the results of austerity and all that, you know, putting in the thing, then you have Tejas. And then there's Shakti, there's potency is there, but is it used in the Lord's service, or is that I am the controller of Shakti? Because I have it, I'm wealthy, I have it, so I'm the controller of Shakti.
Which one would be the second? Tejas and Tejasin?
No, that's the third. Aniruddha. Aniruddha is Tejas and, no, Tejas and Shakti. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is, do we see these things connected to the Lord, or do we see them not connected to the Lord?
And what's Tejas in this connection?
Tejas. It means, you could say that potency to control energy.
Power?
No, it's not. It's not power, because that's Bala. Okay. It means they're subtle. Just that concept that I'm the controller of energy. And Shakti is that you have. Like you see, wealthy people who are very humble and nice and unassuming. And then you have those who are wealthy, and that's just like, you know, it's just that their ego is way beyond the limits of their subtle body. You know, because it means if you're 3 feet, that's all you get. And if you go beyond that, then, you know, it's a problem. Like that.
How do you call them? Kalyanagunas?
Kalyanaguna. Okay. Kalyanaguna. So Vasudeva means when you perform an activity, you use all six. Does that make sense? With proper knowledge, that strength, that confidence, that to do it for Krishna, and using all things, seeing all things in relationship to Krishna, then having that potency, and then seeing that all these things are for to please Krishna. All that together, then that makes proper Abhideya. Right? That's complete. Okay. Yeah? Okay. So then this verse is similar to the Shruti mantra of Upanishad. Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagat Yam Jagat. Tena tyaktena bhunjita magridhas kasya svidhanam. This visible world and whatever exists beyond perception is under the control of the Lord. Because of this, you should enjoy only what is allotted to you by the Lord through karma. Do not hanker for more than that. Whose property is it? So that's the whole. It means what is allotted through karma. It means what you've done in the past. We're working on Krishna karma. But be satisfied with what would come according to our previous karma. Right? Because we have a particular conditioning, it needs a particular facility. And so whatever we would get from the previous work, inherently, we should be satisfied with that. So if we want more than that, then it's always going to be a problem, because more than that doesn't match our conditioning. You understand? Krishna gives us more, that's his arrangement. You know, just like the person in charge, you do nice work, nice attitude, you may get a bonus. But it's not that you can expect a bonus. Right? Yes?
So austerity means we enjoy less.
Austere means that you're fixed on performing your duty because it should be done. That's austerity. Because that's the real thing, is that austerity, technically, it's a mental state. The physical state of austerity, which we generally translate it as, that is penance. Like that. Because when you perform austerity, there's penance. So that's why we say penance and austerity, they go together. Like that. You know, like let's say the mother's tired, but the child wants to play, so to decide, yes, I'm going to give the attention of the child, that's austerity. And that will have an effect of penance. It'll have a physical, like that. Does that make sense? So that's then what makes things work. And you do that, that's how you get results. So results are directly according to penance. No result is gained with, austerity. No results gained without austerity. Does that make sense? So even if it's physically not difficult, it's mentally difficult. You know, because let's say someone says, I got to do this, and it's such a difficult thing. You know, it's like, I got to sit in the lobby of this 5-star hotel and wait for this guy to show up, at 4 o'clock, and he never shows up at 4 o'clock. And so when he'll show up, and it says, and you're sitting there real boo-hoo, and you're sitting there and go, sitting in the lobby and that, and you're talking, that's a problem? Because there's no penance there. It's the austerity that actually gets you. You know? Does that make sense? You know, just like climbing a mountain. There's penance, but no austerity. Mm-hmm. Right? Because are you supposed to climb the mountain? No. But we'll call that enjoyment. So that's the whole point, is if it's for us, we'll say it's good. If it's not for us, we'll say it's bad. So that's why then austerity is there. This is what you're supposed to do, therefore you do it. Right? So in other words, you have that aspect of the goal, that you're supposed to do it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, but it's knowledge that you have that and can do, but that you do it. Why are you austere? Because of the result you get. This mother said, why does she does that? Because then the child will be happy. Right? So it's about the goal. So actually austerity is about the goal. So then if people don't want to be austere, it means that the goal is not for Krishna. So if you don't want to follow the Vedic, then that means, you understand, it reflects. Yeah, that's it. Yes?
Can you explain a little bit more when you were saying that what we receive karmically matches our conditioning? Because I feel like that most people are not.
No, it's just that she's talking one thing, and I just, the way she said it, it came out as, how you say, Oliver talking to Fagin about getting more. The question is about the how does the results we get from karma and the conditioning go together? It means what body you have now is based on what previous work you did. So that work you did will give a result. And so for that result, you have a particular body to accept that. So the particular conditioning you have and the results, they match. Not necessarily that it's a nice match, but it's a match.
As in, maybe it's our karma to have less than we desire or more than.
Yes, but the point is you've done that, and so you have the conditioning of someone who should get less. Not saying that you like it. But you're in a situation where you get less. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's all. So what it's saying is, even though we're functioning on Krishna karma, but it's still, we should be satisfied what would come by just our previous work. In other words, we do our duties, what comes from that, we're satisfied. Krishna arranges more, great. But we perform our duties according to our nature. We don't try to get more. So all this thing in the modern is always about getting more. You have something, you can get more, as we mentioned about modern advertising. It's always about getting more. So it's a position of the economy, like that. It's arta. So people will use the elements of morality, we should all have, we should all be together. But it's all morality without dharma. So it's upadharma. So then we try to get more than what we should without dharma. And then technically it's paradharma, because it's not supposed to be what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Because getting more means you're going beyond what you're supposed to do and get. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then if we just accept this is what I have, then that's what works. Yes.
Trying to get more for fishing and for some devotional service.
That's there, but then you take what comes, because who's in charge of giving the more?
Krishna.
Yeah, so we do our work, do our best, then whatever comes, that's what we have. You know what I'm saying? So it's a balance. That's the thing, is this is something that just needs to be learned, because otherwise, according to us, then we don't see things proper. Because if it's, if, in other words, we're so covered by karma and jnana that if I have knowledge that it's not mine and this and that, then I don't work, because that's what jnanis do. Or if it's mine and my work, I'm getting results, then I'll work hard. So that's always the confusion when we discuss this point of being satisfied. Because we take it satisfied just means to sit back, you do nothing, and this and that. And we just take it that being satisfied is for lazy, unsuccessful people. You know, people that don't have ability, people that can't get. You know what I'm saying? So that's the mentality, but that's come up from the mode of passion. So mode of goodness means it's being done because you're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? So that means there's a higher purpose. So they can only do that now and again. In other words, the person is always working for their own benefit. You know, the mode of passion. Now and again, they do things seemingly mode of goodness. Give for a charity or some other thing like that. Put in some work, do some, you know, philanthropic or altruistic work. But ultimately, it's still for their benefit because it's part of their identity. I'm a wealthy person. I give in charity. You know, it mentions that in the Gita about the demon. You know, he's conquered his enemies, he's wealthy, he's surrounded with all of them, he gives in charity, he does all these good things. It's just part of his, so it's still passion. But it's passion with a touch of goodness that he's doing something nice. Does that make sense? So the concept that you could be functioning on that platform all the time, because they only see it doing something good, you know, doing something nice, I'm not actually getting directly any benefit. Right? Or the money I'm giving away, so I'm not getting the benefit. But, you know, I'm getting the social benefit. Right? They can't see as, no, I'm giving it away and I'm not getting the social benefit. It's kind of like, why would you do that? Why would you waste your time? So the concept that you do something just because you should, you know, like that is generally foreign. You know, and some understand if they're from old school, then they'll, you know, be able to, at least with family and friends, function in that way. But many of them can't, because it's, you know, it's the common cliche that the successful people, they have bad relationships with their family. You know, everybody stays together because everybody likes the money and the position and all that, but actually they hate each other. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing, is that where do we see this? The only place we see is, okay, you go out into some village somewhere and the people there are really nice and selfless and like this and that. And it's nice to visit there and all that. You know, you're south of France, walk through, you know, the villagers are nice. It's great, like that. And then you go back to the reality. You know? You understand? So that's the, it's not understood as that relationships are the real thing. And if you break relationships, then it's not good. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, Manu's instructions are not only for his own sons and grandsons, but for all of human society. The word man, or in Sanskrit, manushya, has been derived from the name Manu, for all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of humanity, human society should follow these instructions. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of humanity, human society should follow his instructions. Right, so this is not, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. Right? Does Prabhupada ever tell us to talk about things and tell us to do things or talk about stuff that should be done that's for karmis and not for us? It doesn't seem to be his methodology. Right? So it must be pertaining to us. Swayambhuva Manu instructs that whatever exists, not only in the spiritual world, but even within this material world, is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the superconsciousness. The individual soul is given a body in which to live and act according to the instructions of the Supreme Person. And therefore, the Supreme Person also exists within every body. We should not think that we are independent. Rather, we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why it's whatever comes by karma, means whatever's been allotted. we try to get more, then it's a problem. Because more means it's coming out of somewhere. If you think about it, technically, if you want more than what's standard, where does it come from?
Someone else's share.
Yeah, someone else's share. It all means your money that you would use for that was supposed to be for something else. Like that. Or you took it from someone else, so that was theirs. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence. Rather, He has created us. Atmavasyam idam visvam. Ishavasham idam sarvam. Isho Mantra 1. This universal communism can solve all the problems of the world, right? So in other words, it all belongs, so we're saying it all belongs to the state. No, it all belongs to the Supreme. Right? Then within that you apply all the different elements. Right? So then you can have the social for the general mass, you have capitalists for those who are making money, you have the administrative aspects for those who are doing governance. For those who are intellectuals, then they're detached from the whole system. So all these other aspects can function if you understand it all belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you actually get elevated. It's not that government works on communism. No. It's you understand philosophically it works on that level. We don't mean social philosophy. It means actual difference between matter and spirit. So you have to understand where these apply. So to say, oh, it all belongs to Krishna. Yes, but that so it belongs to Krishna means Krishna decides what's doing with it. No, it all belongs to Krishna, so therefore I can use it. Right? That's not pure. That's not the proper application. Right? Does that make sense? Everything belongs to the Supreme, and therefore one should not usurp another's property. We have a tendency to manufacture many things. Especially nowadays, we are building skyscrapers and developing other material facilities. We should know, however, that the ingredients of the skyscrapers and machines cannot be manufactured by anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, man as a manufacturer may accept a salary from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is stated here, Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita, Isho Mantra 1. One may construct a big skyscraper, but neither the constructor, the merchant, nor the worker can claim proprietorship. Proprietorship belongs to the person who has spent for the building. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has manufactured water, earth, air, fire, and the sky, and no one can use these and take a salary. Oh, and one can use these and take a salary. Tena chaktena bhunjita. However, one cannot claim proprietorship. Right, you're doing your activities. It means we do our duties within the material world, and the results that come from that, then the Lord is arranging. But we can't claim that we own. So we can't own what we're working, and we can't own the results. They all belong to Krishna. So we do the work to please Krishna, and the results we use to please Krishna. Right. So then, taking care of the family, it has to be in a way that pleases Krishna. How to take care of the family? That's according to what Krishna would want. Right. That, therefore, that's why we study Shastra, so we know actually how that's done. We see others, how they do it. Does that make sense? This is perfect communism. Our tendency to construct great buildings should be used only for constructing large and valuable temples in which to install the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then our desire for construction will be fulfilled. Right? We want to make something big, but then it has to be made for the Lord. So you see is that when you have a society, when they get developed, they get organized, they want to build big buildings. You know, it's just part of their thing. You know, it's just like always somebody's trying to build the biggest building. I'm not sure where it is now. Last it was in Malaysia, but then I heard someone did something bigger. Oh yeah, no, in Dubai. Dubai is the biggest, but I heard there's somebody working on something bigger than that. You know, so it's just always, you know, we have to build something. But the point is, it's just for the prestige and all that. And in Dubai, there's that Burj Al Khalifa, right?
Burj Khalifa.
Yeah. Oh, Burj Khalifa. The other one is okay.
Burj Al Arab. Okay, that's the hotel. Burj Khalifa. Why is it named Khalifa? Because the guy who built it's not named Khalifa. It's that he was building it and he ran out of money. And so the one that financed it said, I'll give you the money. I said, oh, he'll even give us a grant. You don't even have to pay it back. But it'll have his name on it. You know? So therefore, it's like that. So this whole idea is that they have to do something big. So he says, you want to do something big, then big, make large temples, make things in connection to Krishna. Otherwise, what we require just how much we need. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. You know, you're one person, then, you know, one bathroom works. You're 10 people, then, you know, better to have 5 or 6 or more. You know, so. Since all property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything should be offered to the Lord, and we should take only prasad, tena chaktena bunjitaha. We should not fight amongst ourselves to take more than we need. Of course, we need to be maintained in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maituna. But since the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has provided these necessities of life for the birds and bees, why not for mankind? There's no need for economic development. Everything is provided. Therefore, one should understand that everything belongs to Krishna, and with this idea, one may take prasad. Daivi hyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. No one can surpass the vigilance of material nature or hide his intentions from material nature. If human society unlawfully claims that the property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all of human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the laws of nature. Right, so others may not understand, but material energy always understands. Right? She's good. Right? So it's mentioned. Women have a sixth sense, so material energy is a woman. So she knows. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that somehow somebody might raise a question. If the Lord dwells everywhere in the universe, why do we not see him? Manu answers in the next verse. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Supersoul, who always stays within the individual soul as a friend. Srila Prabhupada explains. Offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:8:18. Krishna, you reside both inside and outside of everything. Yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. In Bhagavad Gita it said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through jnana chakshusha, eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called a spiritual master. Thus we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following shloka. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmili Tang Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Amaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who, with the torchlight of knowledge, has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Gotamiya Tantra. The Guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere because the Lord actually is everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam, Brahma Samhita 5:35. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and he resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God. But a little deliberation can help us see God everywhere. So we literally mean everywhere you can see, because everything is there. So what is the value of something? What is the purpose of something? What's the existence of something? Right? What's the results you can gain from something? That all comes from understanding the Lord. Right? If you understand the Lord, then you can see that. Otherwise, you can't. You may learn, okay, this can do this thing. But how do you actually understand what is the value of something? Is what the Lord, what potency he's imbued in it. That's the actual value. Right? Then it works very nicely. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, just like the potency of a, how you say? The potency of a shoe to get the attention of everybody present in the meeting. You know, that's the Lord. No? Even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. So that means anybody can. That's the whole point. This actually, we take it, this is the most technical, this is actually the simplest point. Anybody can see this. That's the whole point. Pallad Mars is seeing this. He's five. You know, the gopis. Krishna's teaching them this, to always see him everywhere. Right? And they're simple village girls. So anybody can learn. That's the point. This is a universal principle. So with a little training and deliberation. Requires training and with a little deliberation. If we take into account whose property is the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, how the numberless millions of stars and planets are set in the sky, who has made this universe and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. When we claim proprietorship over a certain piece of land, whether individual or for our families or nations, we should also consider how we become the proprietors. The land was there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there's a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So, in the modern terminology, that's why the term communism is used, but technically it just means everything belongs to the Lord. Then, because it belongs to the Lord, therefore we'll use it according to the Lord's direction. Right? Manu continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as the beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of from the Supreme Lord. Right? So there's no inside or outside, because everything is within him. So everything you see around that was technically outside his person is actually inside. Right? Does that make sense? And everything you see that's outside, he's in it as super soul. So that's the whole thing, is that there is no difference for him inside and outside. So by his internal potency, then we're able to perceive nicely his form and all that. But that's why he's special. He has a form, but everything is within him, and he's within everything. So, you know. And if you can't bend your head around that, don't worry. Because he's God. You can't.
Right. Okay. To see the Lord everywhere, is that like a mental exercise which one has to
do? No, it says deliberation. Training, it requires training, and with a little deliberation, then even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. To contemplate, think about it. You know, another, we've been trained, we have the knowledge, then we think, how does this apply into my situation? And then thinking about how to apply it, how does that work, that's deliberation.
So for different devotees, it can also make a different thing. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was really seeing...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that only pillars you can see the Lord, and only Nrisingadev. So. Does that make sense? Or what do you mean by different devotees who see different things? Wait. Is Pallad Maharaj not on the platform of Prema?
Yeah.
So then... See, in other words, you're equating seeing everywhere. That's one thing. That's all the jnani stuff. And then there's prema and rolling on the ground and doing all that kind of jazz. But we just mentioned that this, when Krishna explains to the gopis through Uddhava's instructions and his instructions personally with them at Kurukshetra, this is what he explains. So the difference is that prema, then that person that you see everywhere, is in that particular flavor. It's not that seeing everywhere, oh, that's a lower standard, that's how they see. The residents of Vrindavan see, it says, they see Krishna everywhere, in everything, but they see Krishna. When we say we're seeing everywhere, we're seeing Paramatma, or Brahman. But the principle is the same. It's just a matter of what's our level of realization of the Lord. So this idea is, oh, prema is another thing. That's not actually well thought out. Right? But at the same time, as if somebody's pushing, though, seeing everywhere, seeing Paramatma everywhere, then, yes, then the element, no, but prema, that's a higher level, but that doesn't mean that you're not seeing Krishna everywhere. The same principle doesn't apply. It does apply. It's just that in its application, you see Bhagavan everywhere. Does that make sense?
You mean that it's
yes, according to one's realization. So the point is you don't have to see him. It means he is in everything, but it's not that everything will be noted by you and you're seeing Krishna there. In other words, how do you see things? You see things according to your value, right? In other words, your samskars. So in any one situation, what you'll see is one thing. You know, according... So that, what you're seeing, that's where you contemplate the Lord. You don't have to see the Lord in things that you don't see. You can't see them anyway, so don't have to worry. Point is it's unlimited, so everybody can see according to their nature. So how you're seeing Krishna in everything will be different from one individual to another, because what aspect of the creation that they're seeing, that's different. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difference, and everybody can see according to their nature. You don't have to see the same thing. But the principle of seeing the Lord everywhere, that anybody can do. And then at what level you see the Lord, that's according to your realization. It means according to what Krishna reveals. So according to your devotion. So, okay. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth. He is complete in greatness. Right? We may be great in some things like that, but the point is some become great, and some have greatness thrust upon them. But Krishna's, he is greatness. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have the problem. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, suddenly your mom walks in and says, oh, now you're God. He says, oh, but I wanted to sleep in today. You know, it's like that. You know, so. No, it's he's always great. Right? No? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, for the Lord's existence there is no cause, for he is the cause of everything. He is in everything. Maya tatam idam sarvam. Bhagavad Gita 9:4. He is expanded in everything. But he is not everything. He is achinta bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different. That is explained in this verse. In the material condition, we have a conception of beginning, middle, and end. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no such things. The universal cosmic manifestation is also the Virat Rup that was shown to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all the time, he is the absolute truth and the greatest. So it's not when we see, then he's there. He's there anyway. Right? Because, oh, when I see, then it's there. When it's not, that'll be Buddhism. No, it's that he's always there. It's just a matter of if we see him or not. He is the absolute truth and the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great. And how he is great is explained here. Right? So then, according to Vedanta Sutra, when Muhammad Ali used to say, "I am the greatest," he's actually referring to the super soul, because that the Lord is, as you were explaining this morning in the grammatical explanation, that the
Uttam Purush, first person, what we call first person in English, is Shirdakshaya Vishnu.
Yes, so you have first person, second person, and third person, right? Means I, you, and them. Right, so I is actually means Paramatma, you know, Kirodakshai Vishnu. Yeah, because he's the one that's close. You, then that means how you say Garbhodakshai Vishnu, because whatever you see around, that's him. Then they, which means farther away, that you don't deal with, because you deal with, you know, I and you. Don't deal with them, right? You know,
so. In speaking, yeah. I is the speaker, you is the audience.
So then that's Karanodakshaya Vishnu, because he's outside the universe. Right? So then in here, then that actually means, when we say I, it means the super soul, because whatever is that I-ness that we identify, it's not us, because we're the soul, but we're identifying with, you know, the abilities, the qualities, all these different things, but that's not the soul. That actually is Paramatma. So the point was, is when Indra says, you know, how you say that you should meditate on me, he doesn't mean Indra, either the conditioned nature or him, the jiva. He means the principle, Brahman. Right. So therefore, when he said, "I am the greatest," he's referring to the Supreme Lord. So that's the Vedantic explanation.
Of course, he also thought he was the Supreme Lord.
That's another thing. That's another probably psychotic. How you say, Mr. Hendricks and his, yes, his universal form, but it was him. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, there seems to be a problem here.
Some reaction.
Yes. God is great, and how he is great is explained here. So now he's explained that he is everything, so that will be now explained. Content by Manu. See? It means these things are, you know, we've heard them very nice and clear, but now we see is that these are the instructions how mankind should function. So therefore he says you must follow Manu's instructions, so therefore these are what we should be trying to step and emulate. So we see is Manu, it's the philosophy that's actually the main part of the work. Though to explain all the details of application, that takes up basically, you can say, 10 chapters. Well, actually, more like 11 chapters. So two places, half chapters. No, actually more. More than a half chapter. Then it's all the philosophy and everything like that. Then there's the application. That takes up the bulk of the work. But it must be based on these principles that he's giving here. That's why we say is studying Manu Samhita, the most important thing is the aspect of what Bhagavatam gives, because understanding that, then if you study Manu, then you'll actually get what it means. But if you study Manu without what Bhagavatam's saying, you will never understand what it means. Like that. Even if you become a very nice smarta and everything, you still won't understand what it means.
Yeah?
Okay. Only devotees can understand. Yes, only devotees can understand. And we see Swayambhuva is a devotee, so therefore he can understand.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premi.